Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis 39, as we stand together. Genesis 39. Genesis 39, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Yet he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath commanded all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Notice, if you would, again in verse number 9, the question that Joseph gives to Potiphar's wife. Verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Father, we ask that you would open the understanding of our hearts and minds. Show us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. May the fear of God ever be on our hearts. Help us to be like Joseph, a man of great integrity, that when we are confronted with temptation, with opportunity to sin, Lord, that we would flee, that we would flee from it, and that we would flee to you, our hope and our refuge. And Father, we pray that you would bless our time together tonight in your word. And may you receive honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you. You may be seated. I've titled the message tonight, When Confronted, Question and Remember. When confronted, question and remember. Joseph here, a man who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Genesis, is a man who is confronted with sin, with the opportunity to sin here in this chapter of Genesis, chapter 39. And we want to learn something from his confrontation, and we want to learn something of how we can apply this truth to our lives tonight. So I want to bring to your attention three things that believers can learn from Joseph's question in verse 9 when we are confronted with sin. Number one, we are to remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are confronted with sin, as Joseph was here in this passage, we ought to remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that Joseph was a goodly man, and Joseph was well favored in the eyes of his master. For the Lord was with Joseph, and the blessing of God was upon his life. And it wasn't because of Joseph, it was because of Christ in Joseph. As Joseph looked forward to the cross, he looked forward into the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the Lamb of God, who would die in his place. It is not that Joseph is a man of integrity simply because of his good deeds or his piety, but it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ who is living within him. And we see this account, and no doubt you are familiar with it, that Joseph, through the providence of the Lord, ends up in Potiphar's house and finds this occasion where he is alone with Potiphar's wife, and she is tempting him to lie with her. And what is the response that he gives? He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And notice he says, "How then can I who am a child of God, I who have been redeemed from the blood of the Lamb and the promise of the coming Messiah, one who has been given light out of great darkness, how can I, a testimony of God's great grace, sin against God?" If you and I remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ each day as we are confronted with the poisons of sin, we will be helped in resisting it and fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells the church in Corinthians, in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, he asks them a question. "What? Know ye not that ye have been bought with a price? You are not your own. And because you are not your own, you ought to glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are God's." If you are God's child tonight, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're tempted to think, "Well, I belong to myself and I do what I want to do," that is not the attitude of the child of God. That is not the spirit of a true believer. A true believer understands that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. As James has been called a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a slave to Christ. He is a slave to God, no longer seeking the will of his own, no longer seeking the pleasures of this life, but seeking the will of God and living for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Joseph understood what this means. And Joseph understood what it meant to be a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are daily confronted with sin, we too must remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers who have tasted of the goodness and grace of God. Believers who know within our hearts the love of God, which passeth all understanding. We understand as believers, the eye of our all-seeing Father is ever upon us. As Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3 says, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Believer, you are confronted with sin each day. You're confronted within by the flesh. The flesh seeks to raise its ugly head. The poisons seek to destroy your spiritual life. You are confronted with the roaring lion, the devil who seeks to destroy you. You are confronted with the world that seeks to distract you. What is the first step that we must understand if we are to have victory over sin and temptation, we must remember who we are in Christ. Secondly, we must remember what sin truly is. Notice Joseph's words. How can I, a child of God, a sheep in his sheepfold, one who does not belong to self but belongs to God, how can I do this great wickedness? Joseph saw that if he commits adultery, a fornication with this woman, it is great wickedness. We must ask ourselves tonight, do we see sin as wicked? All sin which is against the commandment of the Lord, that which is unholy, unjust, impure against God, do we see it as wicked, like Joseph? We must not be deceived in our thinking to think that sin is anything else but wicked. David in Psalm 51, that great confessional psalm, what does he cry as he's asking for forgiveness? He says, Lord, against thee and thee only have I done this evil in thy sight. Adultery to him was evil. A murdering an innocent man was wicked and evil. Do we see that our sin, because it is against God, is wicked and evil? You remember the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 13. He's praying and he's hoping that the writers or the readers in Rome might catch a glimpse of the heinousness of sin. And he says that sin by the commandments might become exceedingly sinful, that it might be like rat poison up to your lips, that you would think twice before you drank it, knowing that it is destruction. Children, would you, if you were to leave this place and see a poisonous snake in your path, would you seek to catch it and pet it and bring it close to your face and seek to give it a big hug? Foolishness. If you went swimming off the shores of Bremerton and you saw an orca whale, would you tell your parents, hey, Mom, Dad, see how close I can get to this whale. I'm going to seek to ride it all by myself with its big teeth growling at you. No. So how do we think that sin, which is wicked and evil, how do we think that we can get by with thinking of it as something else, something lighter? Joseph saw that sin was exceedingly wicked. We must understand from the pages of Scripture that all sin is against God. We must remember the testimony of Uzzah, as Uzzah was commanded not to touch of the ark of God. And as the caravan is walking and the ark of God is upon the cart where the oxen are pulling it, and the oxen begin to shake, and Uzzah puts forth his hand and touches the ark of God, and he dies immediately because God has told him not to touch of the ark. Know that disobedience is very evil. It's wicked. And there's a high price to pay for it. I remember Ananias and Sapphira, and keeping back part of their money. Hypocrisy is very, very evil. And I'm afraid, church family, that in 2015, in the culture of Christendom today, we have made sin to become very light in our eyes. It is no longer exceedingly sinful. Our hearts have become calloused in many ways to the things that God hates. The Word of God tells us that He hates lying. God hates a false lips, a false testimony, a false witness. God says that He hates lust. God says that He hates perverse language. God says that He hates blasphemy. And those who use his name in vain, he will not deem guiltless, innocent. So who are we to think that, well, we can use God's name all we want and he doesn't care. We can ask for forgiveness later. And we can watch whatever we want to watch. We can listen to whatever we want to listen to. We can joke however we want to joke. My dear friends, that's not how Joseph saw it. And Joseph saw that God was watching. And Joseph knew that he was going to give an account of his life one day. And Joseph knew that others were watching his life. And that he was a testimony, yes, even to Potiphar's wife, a lost soul who needed the Lord. How would he react? Could he have gotten away with it? Perhaps. We in our sin become very sly, don't we? Thinking that we can get away with our sin. Thinking that God will never see, God will never know, and nobody else will ever know. We'll lock the door and throw away the key. Perhaps I'll get away with it. No, that wasn't his attitude. And Joseph knew that sin was exceedingly sinful. Are we calloused Christians? Have we become desensitized to the evil that surrounds us, to the evil that is within us? In Jeremiah 6:15 and Jeremiah 8:12, Jeremiah gives a bold proclamation to the children of Israel. Now, Jeremiah stands up and preaches and says that Israel, you can't even blush over your sins anymore. You're not ashamed of the disobedience that you are finding yourselves in. But for Ezra, it was the complete opposite. Ezra 9:6. When Ezra saw that the people were living in disobedience, when Ezra saw that sin was prevailing in the land, Ezra says, or the Bible says about Ezra, that Ezra was ashamed and blushed. Believer, we've lost the ability to blush over sin. I once taught a Sunday school lesson at a church. And it was on the greatness of sin. And I was very pointed with them and I said, listen, men, would you subscribe to a Victoria's Secret magazine knowing that your wife shall find it in the mailbox? Would you do that openly? Would you do that? They looked at me with shock. They couldn't believe what I said. And then I said, well, yet some of you Christians, believers, who have been called to holiness and righteousness, continually to put before your face images through the television that are just as bad as that magazine. And then a man came up to me after and said, well, it's not like we can help it. Is that what Joseph said? Well, it's not like I could help it. She was there, so I guess. You know, Joseph was confronted with sin and he fled. Why? What was his response? He knew that it was exceedingly sinful, wicked, and ungodly. Young person, lust, adultery is exceedingly sinful. It'll ruin your life. Young man, you who are tempted, old man, we are confronted in this country. Advertisements on the phone, television, we drive down the road on the billboards, we go to the mall, we walk down the sidewalk, we're confronted. Let's not be dishonest, we're confronted. But we have a choice. We must remember who we are in Christ. We must remember how exceedingly sinful sin is. And Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then can I look upon a maid? How can I sin against God and commit great wickedness in his sight? Understand what Jesus says, young person. If we look at a woman to lust after her, we've committed adultery already in our hearts. Understand, if you're at odds with another brother, it's the same thing as murder, John says. And we take these truths and we put them in their place and we call them what they are in truth. And we see it's exceedingly sinful. But our culture has a way of dumbing things down, right? It's no longer called adultery. No, it's called lying with each other. It's no longer called lying. It's called expressing the truth. It's no longer called division. No, it's called just a disagreement between each other. And we dumb down even the terms that we use. So we must see, dear believer, that sin is very wicked. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the greater the saint, the greater is the sense of sin and the awareness of sin within. And Joseph was a great saint. And Joseph understood the sin that he dealt with within. And Joseph fled from that sin. Thirdly, believer tonight, what can we learn from Joseph and his testimony here when we are confronted with sin? Thirdly, remember who sin is against. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember what sin truly is. And remember who sin is against. It is evil and it is wicked because it is against God. Joseph says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph understood that his sin was not horizontal, it was vertical. Yes, his sin would have been against Potiphar's wife. Yes, his sin would have been Potiphar himself. Yes, his sin would have even been against his own body. But ultimately, Joseph knew that sin is against God. And we too must remember that all sin, all rebellion is against God. True believers understand that sin is against God's love, against God's grace, against God's goodness. And those who truly love God will hate sin. They will. You remember the prodigal son? After spending time with the pigs in the mud pit, he came to himself. And what was his words? He said, I have sinned against heaven and against my father. I am no longer worthy to be called his son. He understood that his sin was against heaven, that his sin was against God. And so must we. If you are here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, these truths that I have just explained will be foreign to you. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you sin because you are not of God. The Bible says that you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of the father you will do. If you're without Christ tonight, you sin because you are still under sin's bondage. You are still under the dominion of sin. If you are without Christ, sin is not exceedingly sinful to you. No, it is exceedingly desirable to you. You like to drink down iniquity like water because you are a sinner. You are in sin. If you are an unbeliever tonight, you can care less if your sin offends God because you're living for yourself and you're seeking to drink and to be merry. Tomorrow we die. But I plead with you, if you are without Christ, see that your sin will find you out. See that the soul that sinneth, it will die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are in sin, know that you will die in your sin and you will pay for it for all of eternity. But Christ came into the world to die for sinners. He did not come for the righteous. He came for the ungodly. He came for the unrighteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you are born again tonight, understand that you must see your sin is offensive to God. And we must cry out like the publican each day, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We fall and we fail each day, do we not? How many of you have lived a perfect life this last week? How many of you have been obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Master, 100% of the time? No, we have failed in thought and in word and in deed, and we are daily in need of His grace. It's a wonder that God puts up with us, even after we are born again. And should it magnify His mercy towards us? It should move us to praise. You're here without Christ. You ask, how can I receive forgiveness that's offered through Jesus Christ? Well, you must receive the truth that Christ is sinless. That Christ Jesus is the sinless Savior, that He came to live a perfect life because you are imperfect. He came to fulfill the law of His Father. He died on a cross. He shed His blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And He came to die in your place, if you will receive Him as Lord and Savior. You must believe that Christ is sinless. And you also must believe that He is able to save to the uttermost. You aren't able to save yourselves. The baptism waters will not wash away your sin. The church fellowship cannot get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ can. God is able to save you unto the uttermost if you will come unto Him through the door, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that door. And see that sin is very, very wicked. Sin is very, very evil. And what was it about Joseph that kept him from sin? Yes, it was that he understood who he was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he understood that sin was exceedingly sinful. Yes, it was the fact that he saw that his sin was against God. But here it is. Understand this. Joseph is a picture of Christ. So again, it wasn't Joseph pulling up his own bootstraps and saying, I can handle it this time. No, it was Christ in Joseph. It was the power of the Lord that gave Joseph the victory. And if we are to have victory over sin and temptation, it must be through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it must be through His Holy Spirit. It cannot be of ourselves. And something was abiding on Joseph. And it's that something that we need today. Here it is. Ready? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord was so strong in Joseph's heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil in every false way. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What do we read of Job? Job was a man who feared God and eschewed. He turned away from evil. And we can only turn away, eschew evil, to the degree that we fear the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? Is it that the Lord's hand might come down and strike us to the ground? No. The fear of the Lord is this. It's the fact that if we displease God, we might have the hand of the Lord and His blessing removed from our life. Joseph understood this, and Joseph each day stood in awe and in reverence of who God was. Joseph knew that God is love. Joseph knew that God is a God of grace and mercy and patience and long-suffering. And so he did not want to displease his good and gracious God. He dwelt in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And you and I must do the same. If we are to have victory over sin. The fear of the Lord. How do we develop this fear? Well, we must be in the Word. We must have the Word of God penetrate through our hearts and through our souls. We must obey it, putting it into practice each day in our lives. We must not come to the Lord and His Word flippantly, casually. We must understand that He is a great, a sovereign God, that we are pitiful and finite sinners, and we must fear Him for who He is. And Joseph had the fear of the Lord remaining on him. And I want you to understand, the Bible tells us in 1 John that a true believer does not live in sin. The Bible says, he that is born of God does not commit sin. Now that doesn't mean that he will be sinless. That's not teaching sinless perfection. But in John, 1 John, the epistle, he is telling us that those who continually live in the lifestyle of sin are not of God. Even though they profess it with their mouth, and their religion is a sham. How are you living tonight? Is it marked by a lifestyle of obedience or disobedience? Is your desire inwardly to please the Lord and obey Him and to fear Him? Or is it, I just go to church and I read my Bible here and there, but I'm going to go my own way more times than following the Lord? A true believer understands that God's grace ought to keep us from sin. It's not that God's grace allows us to sin. It's not a license to sin, but it's to keep us from sin. And Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Get it out of your mind. If we think that we can abuse the grace of God by confessing later and enjoying sin for a season, you don't know God and His Word. A true believer understands that God's grace ought to keep us from sin, and that's what kept Joseph from sin. God is such a gracious God. How could I sin against such a loving Father? How could I displease Him? How can I do Him wrong who has always done me good? And so we must, believers, we must be people of integrity. We've lost that word, have we not? Integrity. What is integrity? One preacher said, integrity is who you are when nobody else is watching. Integrity is what you do in the dark and nobody else is around. What's in your innermost thoughts and in your heart? Integrity. We must be people of integrity. And if you read the Psalms, you'll find that David sought after being a man of integrity. And he sought to walk within his house with a pure heart. And if you walk within your own house with a pure and holy heart, you will walk without of your house with a pure and holy heart. It begins in the home. Your family knows you more than other people do. And so seek to walk with God in your home. We must flee youthful lust. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We must live in the fear of God. We must daily mortify, put to death the deeds of the flesh. As John Owen said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. It's a daily killing sin. Something's brought before your eyes. How do we defeat it? With the Word, the sword of the Spirit. And we call it to mind, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them which turn aside. It will not cleave to me. And we call the Word to our mind and we're confronted to burst out in anger. We're confronted to be selfish. We're confronted to lust. We're confronted to be filled with pride and arrogancy. We're confronted to even forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're confronted to do wrong to our neighbor and to give them a piece of our mind, right? But God's Word says, hold back your tongue. Hold back that little member, that fire, that world of iniquity that destroys and devours. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. As we mortify, we vivify the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. And Joseph presents to us tonight a wonderful, wonderful testimony of a man who walked in integrity, of what we are to do when we are confronted with sin. And when we resist sin, will it forever flee from us? No. In our text, we read here, verse 10, as it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Potiphar's wife didn't come one time. She didn't come twice. She didn't come three. She came day by day, knocking on the door, giving him another opportunity. And what was his response? He resisted, he resisted, he resisted, he fled, and he fled far, even to the point where she grabbed for his coat, and he fled and left his coat behind. Better to lose your coat than your integrity. Once you give in to certain sins, your testimony may be lost. What a sad thing it is as we remember even people who are near and dear to our hearts, family members, friends, church members, who were sitting where you're sitting tonight. And they said amen to the preacher. And they were faithful every service. And they said, that'll never happen to me. And yet they are headlong in the world today. It's a daily, daily, daily fight. It's a daily remembrance. Who we are in Christ. We're not our own. We're His. We must seek to please Him. It's a daily remembrance of how evil and wicked sin truly is. And it's a daily remembrance that all sin is against God. Are you confronted with sin even in this moment? Somebody enticing you to do something? You're at school. You're at work. You're around the neighborhood kids. You're around even the church kids. They say, hey, let's go do this. Mom or Dad won't know. And the preacher won't find out. My spouse won't know. The kids won't know. My boss won't know. God knows. And Joseph knew that the Lord is a God of all knowledge. May we seek to resist temptation, to resist sin, to see it as exceedingly sinful, and may we seek to be people of integrity, people of character. Be like a Daniel. Be like a Joseph. And see the Lord Jesus Christ as our primary example. He was tempted. He was a man. And yet He gave Himself to the Word of God, to recalling the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and the devil fled. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And that's my challenge for you tonight. Let us pray. Father, Lord, who am I that I should proclaim Your holy word? I pray that the Spirit of God would take His word and that He would burn it upon our hearts and minds. Oh Lord, how we fail You each day. How we want to live a victorious Christian life for Your honor and for Your glory. How we dwell, Lord, in a world that is filled with filth, with perverseness, with ungodliness, with wickedness. And yet, Lord, you've called us to be unspotted. You've called us to live righteously. You've told us to be holy as you are holy. And Lord, I pray that you'd cleanse us and wash us, purify our hearts tonight by your word and through your spirit. Search us, O God. See if there be any wicked way in our hearts. And then lead us, O Lord. And lead us to walk the Christian life, seeking to be people of integrity, people of character. I pray that we would not abuse the grace of God, that the fear of the Lord would remain on our lives, remain in this place, remain on this church. Father, I pray that you would draw the lost to yourself, show them that it is their sin that separates them from you. Show them, Lord, that Christ Jesus has come to pay the penalty for their sin. And I pray that they would confess their sin, they would forsake it and find mercy. Help us to remember that those who cover their sin will not prosper. I pray that we would be transparent with you tonight, Lord, and that we would confess our weakness to you. Are there certain areas in our life where we are weak, Lord? May we be honest. May we beg for your strength and help each day. You've told us that we ought to run, that we might obtain the prize, O Lord, but there is often a sin which easily besets us. I pray that we would cast it off tonight, that we would know joy, that we would know that sin silences joy in the Lord. So are we, as David, do we need to confess, Lord? Do we need to find joy once again? Lord, I pray that we would get right with you. In Jesus' name, amen.